Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
We're studying Matthew 6, 14 and 15, where Jesus gives this explanatory comment about the Lord's Prayer, explaining what He meant when He said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And He makes this startling comment that if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. But one of the biggest questions that comes up when we think about forgiving others is, what if they don't repent? God requires that we repent before He forgives us. Should we require the same of other people? Or do we have to just forgive whether they repent or not? That's where we'll pick it up this time. So the condition for receiving forgiveness from God is repentance. And if you refuse to forgive a brother, you're not repentant. Which brings up another question. If God requires forgiveness, should we require if He requires repentance, should we require repentance before we're willing to forgive? Do we say to someone who hurts us, "You repent first, then I'll forgive you. And if you don't, then I won't"? I mean, what do you do with somebody who's unrepentant, who's sinning against you and it's still ongoing? They won't acknowledge what they're doing is sin, or they won't confess it. They won't even take it seriously. They're not repentant. Do you need to forgive them? Well, in Luke 17:3, Jesus said, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back and says to you, 'I repent,' then forgive him." If God expected us to forgive everyone automatically, unconditionally, without whether they repented or not, why would this be here? Why would He say, "If he repents, forgive him," if you had to forgive him anyway? God will not forgive unless a person confesses his sin, is contrite and broken over it, and repents. And He does not require a higher standard of us than He has Himself. So do you need to forgive an unrepentant sinner? No. No. But before some of you start singing the hallelujah chorus here, you need to know that this does not give you permission to hold a grudge. You don't have to forgive, because that's impossible. You can't repair while the sledgehammer is still swinging. But does that mean it's okay to be angry or bitter or upset? Is it okay to punish the person, to teach that person a lesson, to give them some consequences, to be vengeful, cold, cool, unfriendly toward them? No, none of that is okay. None of that is okay. God does not forgive unrepentant sinners, but He is patient with them, is He not? And He requires us to be patient as well. People ask all the time, "How do I forgive somebody who's unrepentant? How do I forgive this person who's sinning against me, doesn't repent?" Answer is, wrong question. You're asking the wrong question. The question isn't how to forgive. The question is, how do I be patient? The virtue you're looking for isn't forgiveness. It's what's called for in that situation is patience. Patience is what you have toward that sinner while the sin is ongoing. Forgiveness is what you have when it's time for it to come to an end. Forgiveness closes the books, puts the whole thing in the past. That's impossible to do while it's still ongoing. You can't put it in the past while it's still happening. And if a person sins, make sure you understand this. If a person sins, that sin is ongoing from the moment he commits it till the moment he repents. If I bump into you somewhere on Tuesday morning and I have a fit and I lose my temper and I, you know, yell at you and everything for 2 minutes on Tuesday morning, and then I get to feeling bad, I repent, I come to you on Saturday or Sunday, I see you in church and I repent and ask you forgiveness, how long did my sin last? It didn't last 2 minutes. My sin against you lasted 4 days, 5 days. The sin continues from the time you commit it until the time you repent. And you can't forgive a sin that's ongoing. So you can't forgive a sin that's not repented of. But what you can do is do what God does, and that is have patience. Listen to what Romans 2 says to unrepentant sinners. Romans 2:4. Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance? Right now, God has not forgiven the sinful, unrepentant humanity. And yet they're still alive. How can that be? It's because He hasn't forgiven them, but He's being patient with them. Romans 9:22. What if God bore with great patience the objects of His wrath? 1 Peter 3:20. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. 1 Peter 3:9. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Verse 15. Our Lord's patience means salvation. So, is it okay for you to be angry and vengeful and spiteful to the person if he doesn't repent? No. No. You can't forgive him yet, but you can and must be patient with him. Patience is the way that God brings sinners to repentance. That should be our method for bringing sinners to repentance. The Greek word for patience is makrothymia, sometimes translated long-suffering. That's literally what it means, willingness to suffer a long time. The ability to outlast pain, that's what makrothymia means. It's a willingness to endure something at the hands of another person for a long time without getting angry, without retaliating, without punishing that person. Being a patient person doesn't mean, you know, sometimes people think, oh, the patient guy, things just don't bother him. No, that's not what patience doesn't mean things don't bother you. Patience is a willingness to suffer the things that do bother you for a long time. That's patience, and patience is a crucial component of love. Is it not? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, what's the very first thing in the list? 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. The more you love someone, the more inclined you are to cut them some slack. Is that not true? That's why God has been so patient with mankind for thousands of years. You know why God has waited thousands of years to come back in judgment? For Christ to come back in judgment? Why He's waited that long? Here's why. Because to Him it doesn't seem like it's been 2,000 years. The readers of 2 Peter wondered why Christ is waiting so long to come back and judge the wicked. And the answer is it doesn't seem long to Him because of His patient love. 2 Peter 3:7, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, the promise to come and judge. As some understand slowness, He's patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Grieves me how people rip verse 8 out of context and they want to apply it to the days of creation, or to come up with, as if they can just have a license to turn days into thousands of years wherever they want in the Bible. Peter's not talking about the days of creation. He's talking about God's patience with sinners. And what he's saying is delay of judgment doesn't seem long to Him because of how much He loves. Some of you got married and you discovered after you got married your spouse had a flaw or two. And you thought, this has got to be shored up, and you expected to be shored up within a few months. And now it's been 17 years. You're still waiting. If you love like God loves you, you'll say, waiting 17 years for my wife to repent for that sin is like waiting one day. Love is patient. Another word for this is the word translated bearing with. Colossians 3:12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What does that look like? Bearing with each other and forgiving each other, whatever grievances you have against one another. What does it look like to have compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? There's two parts to it. Bearing with and forgiving. Bearing with and forgiving. Bearing with is the part you do while the sin is ongoing. Forgiving is the part you do after the sin is over. Bearing with is what you do while it's still an open matter. Forgiveness is what you do when it's time for it to be a closed matter, once they've repented. The word translated bearing with means to put up with. When someone sins against you and won't repent, you don't retaliate. Instead of retaliating, you don't teach them a lesson. You don't become harsh, cold, unfriendly toward them. Instead, you continue to show compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see, does that mean I just got to pretend nothing happened? No. No. Do I got to act like nothing's wrong? No. No. But do you have the same closeness and intimacy in the relationship as you had before? No, you don't. You don't. There will be sorrow in this relationship now. And there will be a need to discuss the sin and bring it up in conversation and call them to repentance. You may need to rebuke the person. You may need to exhort the person and warn the person about the consequences of continuing in sin. You don't do any of that after forgiveness. Once you've forgiven, you don't bring it up in conversation. You don't. It's closed. It's done. But during the time where you're bearing with, yeah, you bring it up in conversation. In a loving way. You do in a way of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's a small flower, a little blue flower in East Africa that grows along the walking paths. And when it's stepped on, it releases all these tiny little blossoms. When the little blossoms are crushed, it releases all this perfume into the air. And it's a really fragrant thing. As soon as you walk on the path, you immediately smell these things. And people ask about it. I read about a guy who asked about it, and he was told this. He said, they call it the forgiveness flower. And here's the explanation they gave me. He said, this forgiveness flower does not wait until we ask forgiveness for crushing it. It does not release its fragrance in measured doses or hold us to a reciprocal arrangement. It does not ask for an apology. It merely lives up to its name and forgives freely, richly, fully. So the flower forgives you for stepping on it, even though you're unrepentant. Well, that's a nice story, but the flower's misnamed, isn't it? It's not the forgiveness flower. What should it be called? The patience flower. Forgiveness is reciprocal arrangement. It does require an apology. This idea of unconditional forgiveness, constant forgiveness, automatic forgiveness, it comes from Rogerian psychology, not from the Bible. I'll maybe get into that some more next week. Patience, though, is like this. It's sweet and fragrant, even at the very moment it's being crushed underfoot.
Is there someone who has sinned against you and hasn't repented? Give some serious thought to what it would look like, not only in your actions and words, but also inside your heart, to be patient with that person. And if you find your heart unwilling, spend some time thinking about how patient God has been with you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.